It's amazing how such a distance can be between two places, White, Georgia, and Santa Paula, California. I don't know how many miles it is out there. I've never been. It's a long way. I know many of you have been. But that the Lord can bless people for even such a far distance apart. To believe the same things about the Word of God as has been brought forth to our attention this morning, I think is a manifestation of the presence of God among a body out there and a body of believers here. And we thank our Lord for those things that have come forth this morning. If I follow where my mind is, it'll be to draw your attention to a verse of Scripture in the book of 1 John in the 5th chapter. And it's a very familiar verse of Scripture, and certainly the subject that's on my mind I don't think is anything that you won't be familiar with. But verse 7 of 1 John chapter 5 reads, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one." I was asked some time ago to consider writing upon certain subjects that some of our younger ones may be facing out in the world, that they are sure to have to answer for, that they would very likely be challenged with from the standpoint of what others may believe. And I may still do that, but I especially thought of that particular request as I had this subject on my mind this morning. And I believe if the Lord will bless me for just a few minutes, that even if I don't write on this subject, that the topic of a 3-in-1 Godhead and the Trinity is something that a parent can hear someone preach about and take it and teach it to their children. You know, this day and time we have a child in our home, more than likely we go to the grocery store and we buy baby food to feed them with. And I can remember when my oldest was born, and I would sit down and in conversations with my grandmother, she mentioned about the difference between the way we feed babies now versus how they used to feed them whenever she was a child. This is my daddy's mama, the one that I've mentioned several times that came up right through the middle of the Depression, and she said we never knew that there was one going on because they were as poor before it and during it and after as they were during it. But the Lord always blessed them to have food on their table. But she said that whenever she was a child and whenever her children were coming up, the way that the children would eat is that the mother would put the food in her mouth and that she would chew the food and that she would take the food and that she would feed that food that she had chewed to the baby that was too young to chew it themselves. It's the way that they would eat back then. And it would give the child the food. It would also give the child needed bacteria to be able to, so that they'd be able to withstand against certain illnesses and things like that. And whenever you consider the gospel truth, you know, a lot of times a child seated on the pew, they may not be able to absorb everything that's brought forth to the attention, but if the parents are able to take it and chew on it for a little while, then they're able to break it down and be able to feed it to those that are under their care so that they would receive the nourishment from it that they need. But I want to tell you, little Lamb of God, today that the subject of the divinity of the Lord Jesus Christ is most certainly something that we need to be able to answer for, and that our children that are coming up through and beginning their walk. You know, the Lord blessed us last month. We had a baptizing of two children here at Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church. And that is the beginning of their walk with the Lord. That's where it begins. You know, a lot of people think that baptism is graduation day. You know, baptism is the beginning of the walk with the Lord. And they're beginning their walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're starting out. And oh, they will face challenges in this world. And I believe what Brother Charles has brought forth to our attention this morning, that if they face it in and of their own accord, they will fall every time. You and I will do the same exact thing. But whenever we face it with the power of the Almighty God and with the Spirit of God and with His Word, that just as Jesus Christ was tempted of the devil and He responded each and every time from the Word of God, if they are able to utilize those tools and be able to use them, then they can stand in the truth that they've been blessed to begin a walk in today. You and I can profit from that. There are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. There's three, but yet there's one. You know, a lot of people would profess that Jesus was a good man, that Jesus did a lot of good things. But one of the things that is a stumbling block to a lot of people is that the idea that this man could be God. Well, this verse of Scripture is one of the best places to go in the Word of God to show that the Scriptures teach us that this man was God. It says there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, God the Father, bears record in heaven. He's in glory. He's a witness in heaven. He's one that speaketh of godliness. He's one, He's God. He's in heaven, the Word. You say, well, that says Word. Well, you know, John took care of that in John chapter 1 to tell us what that Word was. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was God. And the Word was with God. And that Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That word is the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is God. He is God. There are three that bear record in heaven. You know, a lot of people say, well, I believe in an eternal Son. I believe in the eternal Word, but I just don't believe in the eternal Son. Well, to differentiate between the Word and the Son would have to say that there were three that bore record in heaven. It says that there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and what? The Holy Ghost. That God is a spirit is what Jesus said in John chapter 4. He is the Holy Spirit God. And all three of those are one, yet one God. And if the Lord would be with me this morning, the subject that I want to bring forth to your attention is things that we can use from the Word of God where we see and witness the three in one Godhead. As I was meditating upon this subject, I noticed that there was a familiar theme that came up in every single one of these topics. And that is that every single one of the words that you can use to describe where you see and witness the three in one Godhead end in I, we. Now, I've been serving here for a little more than 10 years, and it's not very often that I come up with a lingo, if you will, to remember something that I've spoken to. It's not very often I do. And I don't want you to think that every time I stand before you that I'm going to come up with some easy way to remember. I want you to remember it because it's the truth. You know, I had a professor in school who he despised the idea of coming up with tricks to remember how to solve a problem. And that is to come up with some sort of lingo so that you could remember how to do what he was teaching you how to do. He said, I want you to know how to do it. And it's not my hope this morning whenever we mention that these things are that you can remember by the IONs of the three in one Godhead, that I want you to remember the IONs. I want you to remember them because they're true. But they do end in ION. They do end in ION. One of the first things where you can see and witness the three in one Godhead, it's already been brought forth to our attention this morning, is in creation. Creation. ION. Creation. The scripture tells us in Genesis chapter 1 that in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. It doesn't tell us that anything else was before the beginning. It says in the beginning, God. And it doesn't mean that there is a beginning to God. It means that there's a beginning to what God brought forth a creation to that day. God has always been. He always will be. But there came a day where he was about to create something, and it says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the scripture says, in the very next verse, it says, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. It tells me that the Spirit was present when God created the heaven and the earth. The Spirit is eternal, just as the Father and the Son are eternal. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot unto God. The scripture tells us that the Spirit is eternal. The Father is eternal. The Son's eternal. The Spirit is eternal. Three in one Godhead. The Spirit moved upon the face of the waters. You know, there are some today that believe that unless you take the Spirit, unless you take God somewhere, that God can't get there. Well, they're going to have to reconcile Genesis chapter 1 verse 2 that tells me that the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. It moved before man ever called upon it to move. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell from whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit of God moves where the sovereign God tells it to move because it is God. Three in one Godhead in creation. You go down a little bit further in Genesis chapter 1, the scripture says that God said, let us make man. Let us make man in our image. I like that we let the scripture speak to us. How many times have you ever seen us spoken of in a singular time of being a singular entity in scripture? It won't work, will it? It won't work. Us is plural. Meant that there was more than one there. Who was that was there? It was the Son. Let us make man. It was the Spirit. Let us make man. It was the same one that says there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. They're three, but yet one. Let us make man in our image. And the very next verse says, and God made man. Three, but yet one. Three, but yet one in creation. three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. Not only in creation do you see, and you know, there's all sort of evidences, by the way. We won't go into them, but there's all sort of evidences of a three-in-one Godhead in creation that we can see. You also see a three-in-one Godhead in salvation. In salvation. Not only in creation, but in salvation. One of the best places to go in Scripture is to the book of 1 Peter chapter 1, where the Apostle Peter is writing unto those saints that were scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. And he's writing unto them, and he tells them what they are. He tells these ones who he's writing unto, yes, you're facing trials. Yes, it's tough right now, but let me put something else in your memory so that you can face the trials that are there. And every once in a while, communication in a certain way will give someone the strength that they need to face something that they may be facing in this world. And one of the more important things that you can remind them whenever they may be facing something in this world is that there's something greater than what you are in this world. You need to remember your heavenly title and where you're going to be in glory. Where you're going to be forever. Spend this life only. Spend this life only. You're of all men most miserable. But he tells them that they were what? Elect. According to foreknowledge of God the Father. There you have one part of the Godhead. God the Father. Those ones who we were writing unto, they were the chosen in God the Father. God the Father chose them to be His. They are chosen by God's sovereign choice. We believe in a sovereign God. We believe in the doctrine of election. And we believe that each and every one who God Almighty chose to be His are His for all eternity. They are elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. There's one part of the Godhead. Ways that we can see and witness a three-in-one Godhead in salvation. There you see the Father. The Scripture says also in the same verse, through sanctification of the Spirit. Not only are they chosen in the Father, but they've been set apart by the Holy Spirit God and been given life in the Lord Jesus Christ. They've been born again of the Spirit of God. They've been born of the incorruptible seed. They've been born of the living Word. They've been born of water, and they've been born of the Spirit of God. And He lists them here as not only being ones that are chosen of the Father, they have been set aside by the Holy Spirit God unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You tell me what that verse tells us about salvation. It tells us that the Father chose you, that the Spirit set you apart, and that the Lord Jesus Christ sprinkled you with His blood and cleansed you from all unrighteousness. Now, what part of that involves any work of our own accord? It doesn't say anything that you and I are going to do, but it tells us a great deal about what is done to us. The Father chose us, the Spirit gave us life, and the Lord Jesus Christ gave His life on Calvary for us and shed His blood for us. The three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. You know, I believe a child can understand that. I believe they can. You know, a steady question around our house to some of the younger ones is, do you have to do anything to go to heaven? And you know, I try to fool mine from time to time. And you say, why would you do that? I want to make sure I pose it in a way that somebody may pose it to them one day. I'll ask them, I said, we have to work our way into heaven, don't we? And every once in a while I've gotten a response back, yeah. Like, you didn't listen to what I said. The only thing you did was fall for my salesman tactics. You didn't listen at all to what I said. Listen to what I'm saying. The answer is no. God Almighty did it all, and it's all to Him who we owe for our home and glory. He did it all. He chose us. He gave us life in His Son, Christ Jesus, and He shed His blood for us on the cross at Calvary. We see that. We witness that in the work of salvation. It's all encompassed in the work of God. God the Father. God the Son. God the Holy Spirit. All three of them. We see it in creation. We see it in salvation. We see a three-in-one Godhead in Revelation. In Revelation. And that is that He's revealed Himself unto us. He's taught us to know Him. He's taught us to love Him. I've had someone tell me before that they took great delight in teaching people to know God. It was not one of our folks who said that. But I thought, you've taken it upon yourself as saying that you're doing something that the Scripture doesn't tell us that we do. Teaches us that God teaches His children to know Him. God teaches His children to love Him. And sure, a minister of the gospel can come along and encourage them on how to manifest what God has already taught them, but He's the one who has revealed Himself to them. Matthew chapter 11. The Scriptures say that no man knoweth the Son save the Father. And no man knoweth the Father save the Son. And whosoever the Son will reveal Him. Who does the revelation? The Son. In the conversation that old Baptists love to quote in Matthew chapter 16 of the institution of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ tells the Apostle Peter, He said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." There you have the Son revealing. There you have the Father revealing. In the Apostle Paul's letter to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he tells them that eye hath not seen nor hear heard the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him, but God hath revealed them unto him by His what? Spirit. There you have the Son, there you have the Father, and there you have the Spirit in revelation, revealing things and revealing Himself unto His children. You know, for us to be able to declare the truth of this book this morning, we need to declare that we do have faith, that we do have hope, that we do have the knowledge of God and a love of God without any action of man, because God does those things to us and gives us that without any instrument of man being involved. He speaks those things and reveals those things unto us in and of Himself. You know, there are certain things that you know, my wife she graduated with an English degree from Georgia College. And, you know, from time to time, whenever my children need help with English, they've come to me before, and I said, might be a better source for that other than me. Samuel asked me almost every morning where his belt is. And I told him this morning the same thing I've told him many times. You're coming to me to ask me where that sort of stuff is. I don't have a clue where my own is half the time. I sure don't know where yours is. There's a better source for the information. There's a better source. And I want to tell you, there's not a better source for the revelation of God Almighty than God Almighty Himself. He reveals Himself unto every single one of His children at His own time, at His own pleasure. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight, is what the verse says right above that in Matthew chapter 11. Whenever it's His will, in accordance with His way, He does it. Can you think of a better source? I certainly don't want that on my plate, to think that that is my responsibility in creation, in salvation, in revelation. You see a three-in-one Godhead in the manifestation of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see a three-in-one Godhead. If you go over to the book of Matthew in the third chapter, the Scripture records unto us the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, John struggled with performing that action. And Jesus spoke in response to that to suffer it to be so. Because it was necessary to fulfill all righteousness. Now, it didn't mean that Jesus Christ had to be baptized in the water of Jordan in order to be a righteous man. No, sir. No, no. The Lord Jesus Christ has always been righteous. He will always be righteous. You know, I didn't watch any of the history program documentary that was aired a few years ago. It was titled The Bible. And we noticed that it came on, and people say, why did you even notice? You know, a minister sometimes not only has the responsibility of knowing what's good for the folks he tries to serve, but I need to be a little bit aware of what they may come in communication with that's not good. I didn't say I needed to go just completely dive headfirst into it. I just want to be somewhat familiar. And one of the things that you'll see in that program is that when this conversation takes place between Jesus Christ and John the Baptist, is that John the Baptist tells Jesus, if you will profess your sins, if you will profess your sins, then you may be baptized. You want to tell me that there's not a theology and a will among the world to remove the divinity from the person of the Lord Jesus Christ? You better believe there is. But this is the way that you defend it, is by being able to say that in creation, in salvation, in revelation, and in manifestation, the Scriptures tell us that Jesus is God. That He's not God Jew. That even though whenever He was here in this world, that He was still in glory with heaven in heaven. Do you believe that this morning? Whenever the Scriptures tell us, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, but believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. That where I will be, or where I am. Where I am, there you may be also. Jesus Christ was in glory even while He was here. Even the Son of Man in John chapter 3, which is in heaven. He was the Son of Man in this world. He's the Son of Man in glory and the Son of God. He never left His throne even though He came down from His throne. Now you can't explain that by a natural phenomenon, can you? But I want to tell you, He's God. He's God. And the Scripture tells us that to fulfill all righteousness, what He was doing was setting forth the standard for us to follow in being baptized of John the Baptist. And there you have the Son of God present. You have Jesus Christ present. And the Scripture says that whenever He was baptized of John, that the Spirit descended upon Him like a dove, and His Father's voice came down from heaven that this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. It manifested that day the three in one Godhead. There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. This is my beloved Son. Oh, He's God's Son. And I want to tell you, I've never been a father any longer than I've had a son. And the same is true whenever we consider the eternality of the Son. He's been a son as long as the Father has been a father. And it's been through all eternity. All eternity. Praise be unto the Lord for those precious truths. In manifestation. He manifested who He was that day. Oh. He was there. Creation. Salvation. Revelation. Manifestation. And this is not an all-inclusive list. But I think it's a good anchor. One more. In declaration. In declaration. Jesus Christ, according to the Scriptures, His ministry lasted about 3.5 years. And He went forth in the courts of this world and was sentenced to the penalty of death on a cross. And I do believe that he suffered that penalty. I don't think it's because man killed him. I think it's because he, of his own accord, gave up the ghost. Father, into thy hand I commend my spirit. And he died on that cross. And the scripture tells us that he was buried in a tomb, a barred tomb. And that he was in that tomb for 3.5 days. 3 days and three nights. 3 days and three nights. And I believe sometime between sundown and Saturday night at sundown at 6, or sometime before sunup on Sunday morning. Because when they came to the tomb, it was while it was yet dark. The beginning of the next day had not commenced yet. And he came forth out of that tomb. And the scripture tells us in Romans chapter 1 in the fourth verse that he was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness, Spirit, by the resurrection from the dead. Acts chapter 7, Stephen tells us, but God raised him from the dead. In declaration, he declared himself to be the Son of God by the resurrection from the dead. There you have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in declaration, giving us the witness so that we can with confidence declare these things to be true that we read here in 1 John chapter 5, verse 7. That there are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And that these three are one. They are in perfect unity, one with the other. And it's no different when we consider the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Oh, all three were present. Oh, all three had a hand in it. I believe he did walk among his disciples. I believe he did. It's recorded in Luke chapter 24 that's been preached from this morning. I believe he spoke unto those men. I believe he was in the same body, Brother Charles. Amen. I believe he had those pierced hands. I believe he had a pierced side. I believe whenever he returns from glory again, I believe it'll be in that body. I believe you'll see Jesus in that body. I believe he's coming, by the way. I tried to close out the meeting last weekend by preaching on the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You ever notice that every time that the second coming is mentioned, that it's mentioned with the surety of a shall? For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of an archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. You tell me where the doubt is. There's no doubt whenever Scripture says shall. There's a reason why we're called hard shalls. Because we stress it. The Scripture says, for Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, but unto us to look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Shall, I will come again when the Son of Man shall come in his glory. The Scripture says he's coming again. Oh, he's coming. Tells us the manner of his coming. He's not coming to be spat upon again. You hear me? He's not coming to bear whip upon his back. He's not coming in the form of man as he came before. Oh no, the Scripture says when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all his holy angels with him, he's coming with the armies of heaven, with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and every knee shall bow. He's coming again. Three that bear record, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. Always coming. And each and every one of those things that we tried to bring forth to your attention this morning, until that day comes, until He returns again, may the Lord bless us to believe these precious truths in a three in one Godhead. Articles of Faith stated, you know, when it comes to the divinity of Jesus, really when it comes to any of our articles of faith, there's no room for no room to waver. It's not. It puts you in a peculiar position to waver on them. The scriptures declare plainly that there are three that bear record in heaven. Do I need to mention that, by the way, the new versions of the Bible eliminate that verse? You ever, you know, people say, that's one of those things in addition to watching the documentary I just mentioned. I'll save you some time. You don't need to go buy one. You need to buy it if you want to confirm what I just said, but you can go look at it yourself. It's not in there. It's not in there. And I can outline several more reasons why those new versions of the Bible attack the divinity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, before the person Jesus is removed some close to 1,000 times in a row. You tell me. Somebody mentioned to me one time, well, they're not attacking Him because they added a few times where it wasn't in the other. And I said, brother, do you really think that the devil's not a little bit more sly than that? He's taken close to 1,000 of them and He's given you three. Thank you for the victory. I tell you what, we're not that foolish. No, we see what He's doing. I want to tell you, Jesus is God. Jesus is God. Holy Spirit is God. And when we pray for the Holy Spirit to come and bless us whenever we meet together, we're not praying for anything less other than God Almighty to come and bless us and be with us. Whenever I'm praying for the Lord to send His Spirit and bless me through whatever challenge I have, I'm praying for God to come and bless me through whatever challenge I have. May the Lord bless us to rejoice in these things that we've been a blessing to hear Brother Charles preach this morning. And it's so good to have him here with us. And we're going to publish an open door to the church. If there's any that carry a burden on their heart to unite with the church here at Macedonia, to come forward while we sing.
Shall we gather at the red?
Bye.
Hey!